The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, or as they say on closed caption, Kelly Bin Laden.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
I hope it doesn't say that every day, by the way. That's the only thing I've thought of.
Every day.
Like, you're Skill Alexander.
Skill, baby.
And I'm Kelly Bin Laden every day.
Every single day. Dr. Bob will be here. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave to talk Sweet 16 with us. Crackman standing by. In the interest of being thorough, Kelly, because you brought this up the other day, that you love nothing more than what? Hot goss, you said.
That's right, the hot goss.
It's one of the cringiest moments ever on the show, but he said it.
The hot goss with Kelly Bidlin, the UConn basketball team had to move hotels.
Well, that's what it is, so that's what we wanted to get to. So
thank you, Sports Avant, for sending that in.
In the interest of being thorough, the UConn men's basketball team, thank you, Sports Avant, the UConn men's basketball team checked in or tried to check into the Luxor. And let's just say, this from CT Insider, let's just say that the room's previous occupants seemingly enjoyed Vegas a little too much. They were all just absolutely, the rooms were just completely trashed. And so the NCAA, who's in charge of booking hotels for each team, after UConn appraised the situation, the Huskies were moved to a nearby higher level hotel.
Well, good for them.
According to the piece. There you go. So that anybody, you know, because there's going to be a segment of the audience with like, how much are they favored by four? That's got to be something. I mean, I wouldn't, but some people want to know all that kind of information. There's your hot goss. UConn unable to check into the Luxor on their way to a better hotel, per the article. Bill Krakenberger, always at great hotels, joins us unscripted with the crack. Crackman from an undisclosed location. Where are you, Bill? Maybe you can disclose the location. Where are you?
In Atlantic City.
AC.
Garden spot of the world. I always say if God's going to end the planet, AC goes first quickly by Las Vegas, then followed immediately by Las Vegas. Sorry. I don't want to sound so.
You're the first.
I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood anyway. So just probably.
No. Oh, no. What are you in a bad mood about, Billy?
I was debating whether to talk about this, but of course, why not? It's a unscripted, aggravated gambler segment here. Sorry. So, I have a friend that lives in Connecticut, and, he just moved there recently. He lived in Las Vegas, but he just moved to Connecticut. It's not Alan Boston. People think Alan Boston right away because he lives in Connecticut. Nice kid though. He's got a very wealthy family, actually. Thank God. He needs it, by the way. But I give him all my plays for free, and I met up with him, and he just showed me how much money he's been losing, like, for the year and even last since football started. And I was like, wait a minute, hold it, time out. I know I had a winning season and stuff. I give you. So what do you mean? He's like, he literally went broke from his bankroll that he had for gambling, which was, probably around. Well, actually, he gave me his, I have to tell you, he was nice enough to give me his account. I even said I may talk about you on some shows. He goes, I don't care. Use me as an example. He wanted to come on to show what a degenerate he is. But he gave me access to his account, his DraftKings account. He goes, okay, yeah, go ahead and look at it. And I looked at it, and I seen all these live wagers. I seen every week he bet golf, and every week and by the way, literally bets $50 to $100, maybe $200. You know how hard it is to lose 25 grand since September betting $50 and $100? It's pretty hard to do.
Oh my goodness.
So it shows me all these he bet 11 live wagers on the same team for $50 to $100. And there you go. There's $1,000 on one game. He lost $800. He lost $800 on one game. And I was just like, well, what made you do that? How did you? And he'll give me reasons. He goes, no. I was watching. They were playing good in the first half. I just felt they were going to play good still. And they were now. That's that human. What do I usually call it? The human condition. We watch live wagering, And what is our propensity is going to be to bet whatever's happening good? So you have a big favorite, like let's say the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're favored by 7. And all of a sudden now they come right out in the first 3 minutes, 7-0. Oh, this, they're going to kill them. I got to bet the Chiefs in this game. And, you know, automatically the bookmaker knows which way you're betting too, because they know they're betting something that's in front of them that's the marquee team. There's so many reasons that what I'm talking about. And automatically they're going to tack on maybe a half a point, nothing big, but how about the juice? So maybe Kansas City was pre-flop, Gil's word, I'm stealing it, before the game was -7. They score right away, and right away, next thing you know, it's 13.5. Well, it's 13.5. It's -$1.30 automatically, where it probably should be -$1.10. And you're going to, because they know which way the people are going to bet. So, and I'm not even saying that that's what his account's about, but he gave me full access. He gave me his phone. That's another whole subject in itself. Like, I couldn't look that up under my phone, or they'd suspend me or him. They'd suspend his account. DraftKings, and even now I read that well, a couple of the big other sports books now, you cannot log in your account, FanDuel. You cannot log in. Like, I can't log into your account, let's say, Gil, and look at your stuff and on my phone. They will suspend your account. Yeah. I mean, I did it in the past, and I emailed them. It took a couple of weeks. You know, just to it's amazing how hard it is to go through the hoops you have to go through. Matter of fact, someone's even being sued right now. There's a big lawsuit. Someone sent me an article on. That's just another story in itself.
That's a good point to make as well. But let's get back to the live betting thing, because the broader point you're making, I think, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is that you know, people talk about, you know, the broader subject is problem gambling. But when you talk about live and in-game wagering, there is that, because it's in the moment and it's on the fly, there might be a propensity for some people to way over bet that kind of thing. And what you said, a guy who lost all that money, okay, people lose that kind of money, but to do it with $50 increments is saying something monster. I mean, that's unbelievable. And so
he didn't have a $200 bet, not one $200.
Not one.
The account lost $25,000. He deposited 10, 10, and 5.
So he's really just, it's almost, I don't want to, you know, ascribe anything to this particular person. I'm sure he's a great guy, but it's almost like he can't sort of control the impulse kind of thing at that point.
He can't control the impulse. And guess what? He, for the better part, I hate to say this, he may be representative of the American public.
Yeah.
He may be representative, because I was like, wait, did you go to the – because you know what happens here a lot. They'll play the casino at nighttime or whatever. Jeez. When the gamble's over, they'll play the online casino.
Yeah.
He did not play it. I was like, wow, okay. But then again, like I said, I've seen 11 bets losing $800 on one game. And, like, he actually wanted to blame me. He's like, oh, well, I took your bet and I kept on betting it live. Well, wait a minute. That means you're betting, let's say, the $800. If you're betting $50 or $100 a game, you can't bet 10 times more later on throughout the game. You're betting 10 times more on one game than another game. But and just, oh, my God, they have, like, live golf. I don't even know they even had that.
Oh, yeah, live golf's great, by the way.
I forgot they had that.
Literally
losing thousands on that.
Are you upset because he is trying to blame you for it, or are you just upset at his general behavior, that he couldn't control this impulse and that he needs to?
Boy, do I get this deep? I'll be honest with you. I get upset that he asked me to borrow $3,000 last night.
Oh, there you go.
And I mean, I was like, what? This is impossible. Oh, my God.
Well, but it is a lesson in the fact that it one thing leads to another, right? And so, you know.
It is. Yeah. And I'm telling you, something I said just spontaneously thinking about it during this segment, I wonder if that probably is representative of a lot of the public. I can imagine a lot of the public just overbetting on crazy things, and they see all these new companies. And I'm not trying to pick on DraftKings; it could be anything. It just so happens he has his DraftKings account. And
so many cousins of it too, right? Like, we got to the Sweet 16 now, and then we're going to get to the Elite Eight, Final Four, Championship. just because the games are bigger doesn't mean you need to bet more on them, right? Like, there's a lot of bettors
bet
out
less.
There. Yeah.
I bet less now.
Right. There's a lot of bettors who go, who think, oh, well, this is our last chance to do this till whenever, right? Till October, when college basketball resumes. So let's just go out with a bang kind of thing. We see that with every sport. But, you know, so it's, there's all kinds of impulses that, people, you know, to the extent that we can sort of help people limit that sort of impulse, then I guess we've done our job. But it's always interesting to hear sort of the other side, if you will, like, right? Like,
it is.
Just have some guardrails, I guess, is what we're saying.
And good point you just brought up. People want to bet like the Sweet 16. Okay, sure, I bet a couple games. But let me tell you, as we get on to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, Final Four, the big game, let me tell you something. I bet less and less. There's so many eyeballs on these games. These lines are so ironed out. They're like betting an NFL side, right? You know, at this point, you know, UCLA, Gonzaga. Okay, great. Like, I laid the money line. I laid pick a minus $1.10 and 20. Okay, it's 1.5 now, and it's dollar minus $1.30 or 40. It's not worth betting a dollar. It's not worth taking that second number and third number this time of the year. I don't like doing that any time of the year, but I'll do it early the first month or two of basketball, college basketball. This time of the year, no way. But they have to have something to bet on. People have to bet on. Oh my God, it's the Sweet 16, and also,
yeah.
Speaking of which, going to a sports bar in Philadelphia this weekend called Bankroll, opening up with Adam Lefko. Should be fun.
Oh, nice,
Aaron.
All right,
fun stuff.
Bill, we got to run. Enjoy Atlantic City. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, see you.
Bill Krakenberger at Bill Crackman with a K on the Twitter machine. Dr. Bob, Matty Cox from Three Man Weave, Sweet 16 thoughts and plays on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It's available now and has futures, team previews, and best bets. Steve Mackinnon with power ratings on every team, and Adam Burke, the greatest baseball preview writer that has ever lived, breaks down how the new MLB rules will impact bettors. Whether you bet baseball every day or looking for valuable futures bets, our betting guide has it all. Sign up today. Get full access to VSiN for 30 days for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. I think I got to do a Beating the Book baseball preview podcast. Get Jason up in there. Some Sporer. Maybe some Borchard at the old round table.
There you go.
Your best bets.
Adam Burke will be on here tomorrow. We'll talk to him about it. Yes. We'll chop it up with him tomorrow about some of the baseball guide.
Absolutely. Got to do that. We get tweets at Beating the Book real quick here before we get to Dr. Bob. Just want to read through a few of these. This is from a great tweet here from MQS_bets. He goes, it's because someone was saying it was about match fixing, that it's a preventive measure for match fixing, why they don't allow, or some books don't grade unless a complete tennis match is fixed. He goes, it has nothing to do with match fixing, and he's right. I'm guessing it's the book's way of protecting themselves from people who know injury information pre-match. With so many matches going on daily and tennis being a smaller market, they just don't have all the insider info. This is Douglas, who said, appreciate the help with my Stroud bets, but I heard nothing. He said, the draft stuff, though, is so much fun. Thanks for turning me on to this. This is from Auburnist. The UConn story is the first I've heard anybody talking about the NCAA tourney being there in Vegas. What's the general mood in Vegas about the regional? Let's go to general mood analyst Kelly Bidlin for his thoughts on that. General mood here?
I don't know. It's another sporting event. I think that the outside world is... I've actually read a couple stories this week. I wouldn't agree with that tweet, actually. I've read a couple stories this week of, like, how much sports has changed in the past 10 years. We have the Sweet 16 now in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't really know if I feel the buzz around town, though. Like, oh, my gosh, we have a Sweet 16.
I don't feel the buzz whatsoever, but it is noteworthy like anything. I mean, we're having a Super Bowl here, right? Like, the fact that Vegas is now embraced, if you just, I mean, again... all the things that they tried to detach. Oh, if you had any whiff of Vegas, right? You were the scourge of the earth. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, sure, five, yeah, Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, they're planning on building, what, an A's ballpark right on the Las Vegas Boulevard?
Are they? Is that the latest on that?
Yeah.
One more here before we get to Bob. Let's see. Oh, we'll a lot of reaction to the crack segment. We'll get to those coming up. Dr. Bob joins us, everybody. I once called him a pioneer, and he quipped back. He goes, I prefer legend, Gil. drbobsports.com, at drbobsports, talking college hoops. How you doing, Bob?
Oh, I'm fine. I got a lot of crap for that. you can go back to Pioneer. It just the problem I had with Pioneer is I was like, you know, because what I was doing in, you know, the 1990s and 2000s was all cutting it. I'm still innovating. I'm still doing things that are ahead of the market. By saying I'm a Pioneer makes it sound like I have old methods and whatnot. But I'm still keeping up, you know, staying ahead of the line. You know, it's funny. I was thinking, you know, I used to say, Gil, you're my good luck charm. Remember I said, oh, when I get on your show, I win 60%. I'm, yeah. You know, 56% long-term. I'm 60%. Well, that has not been the case lately.
No.
I'm having a great college basketball season, and I think I'm on like a 1-8 run on your show. I think last time I was on was last Thursday. I gave out the two best bets that I had. I went 0-2. The next day I couldn't come on because I had to take my kids to school because my wife was out. And I went, and you get the plays every day, and I went 6-1 on Friday. And, of course, I wasn't on the show to give out any of those. And I probably would have given out the one loss. So it's just been a weird streak here for me on your show because normally it's been nothing but good luck for me.
There's only one answer, and his name is Kelly Bidlin. He's the only difference.
That's
Kelly,
right.
You're the mush.
It's the only difference. Although, Kelly, you were on during football. I had a strong football season on the show
true.
Again.
That's true.
And you were on then, and so I apologize to people listening, but
Kelly, I take it.
I don't know what it is, but 1-8 recently, and the rest of the plays I've given out this year are 581 and 467. So,
who else, Kelly? Who else can we blame? Who else can we blame that wasn't here?
Let me think.
We'll blame it on short, small sample size of variance, and hopefully that will revert back to giving out some winners today because I haven't had a good season. It just hasn't translated to the show.
Let's get to it, Bobby. What you got tonight? Sweet 16, 4 games to choose from. Let's focus on tonight's because, you know, who knows? Maybe you want to come back tomorrow.
Let's do tonight.
Okay.
What
do you like?
Right. Well, I like Michigan State. I've been on Michigan State and they have done well for me. I was on them the first two rounds. They said Michigan State is just a team that profiles well as a tournament team. They have certain statistical characteristics that tend to lead to good, you know, outperforming in the tournament. And then you get Kansas State. And the thing about when you're handicapping Kansas State, the question is, can they have a great three-point defense? I mean, but are they going to allow 29.7% from three-point range going forward? They have a pretty mediocre two-point defense. And generally, defense overall, three-point defense tends to follow how good you are defensively overall. And they're 127th, a two-point defense. So them only allowing 29.7% from three is like, well, there's some randomness in there. There's some variance in that. My model adjusts for that. But they've gotten even better. The two tournament games, they've gone up 24% from three. So part of this is like, well, they can't continue to be as good from three-point range. And if they regress to what I think they should be, then I think Michigan State has some value in the line. I would favor them by three in that case with my ratings. If Kansas State continues to allow threes as they have, then the line of around 1 or 1.5 is probably about right. But even if that's the case, I still have some statistical indicators. Like I mentioned, Michigan State profiles well as a tournament team. In this case, that's worth 1.7 points. And Kansas State applies to a 7-30 Sweet 16 situation. So there are reasons to bet Michigan State, even if Kansas State's three-point defense does not regress. So I'm on Michigan State for a third time here in the tournament.
I like it. Might have just solidified my survivor play. And by the way, and I'll just sort of try to read between the lines, when you say profile as a tournament team, does that have to do with limiting the rotation once you get to this part of the season?
No, it's more about the, you know, teams that play at a slower pace tend to perform relatively better. Teams that offensive rebound tend to, because it's more of a half court game and getting offensive rebounds is something that makes you play relatively better. Holding on to the ball, which Michigan State does extremely well, because you think about that, you know, the NCAA tournament tends to be more of a half court game. You've seen the pace has slowed more than usual. There's been so many unders in this tournament that these teams that are used to playing in the half court tend to have an advantage. Teams that don't turn the ball over, teams that offensive rebound, like I mentioned, slow down the pace. They're used to playing that style, and those type of teams are going to do well in a half court setting. So there's, you know, studies done over what statistics tend to lead to overperformance or underperformance in NCAA tournament teams. And I've quantified that into points. So there, when I say it's worth 1.7 points, their statistical profile, you know, is a good one. And it had me on them twice in a row so far, now a third time.
Anything, thank you for the clarification, sir. Anything on Arkansas, UConn, Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, or Gonzaga, UCLA?
Yeah. Here's the thing about Arkansas. I mentioned that, I can talk about these really quickly. When I came on last week and I gave out Arkansas, I said, well, Nick Smith has been a problem since he's come back. The team hasn't performed as well. This guy shoots 39%, and he takes more shots than anybody on the team, and that's been a problem. Well, that was working just fine until Eric Musselman said, all right, enough of this. You're out here. And in crunch time, they took him out against Illinois.
Yes.
And Illinois was up in that game, and they took out Nick Smith, and then Arkansas came back and won the game. And then in the second round, he only played 16 minutes. He started the game, but only played 16. He went 0-for-4, and that's enough. 16 minutes, like, okay. So now Eric Musselman's figured out this guy is just a gunner. He's now shooting 37% from the season. So the handicap on Arkansas is how much is Nick Smith going to play?
Right.
If he plays only 16 minutes again, well, that's about a point and a half better than if he plays 32 minutes. And that's a significant difference. I have no idea. I'll just assume he plays 16 minutes again. He could end up playing 30 minutes again. I don't know. He could end up not playing at all. Maybe they had enough of him. He's
impossible to know.
The field in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. That's what makes this tough. I would lean, if I had to play it, I'd probably lean with Connecticut anyway. Even if I have Smith playing 16 minutes, I still would favor Connecticut by 4.5.
Okay.
So in the line's 4. So, but if he doesn't play at all, then Arkansas is fine. So Bob, that's a tough one.
Bob, we got a minute left. Give me 20 seconds on both of these, the last ones. Just thoughts, real capsule.
Yeah, I don't really have anything. I'd probably lean slightly with Florida Atlantic a little bit. I think they're a little bit undervalued. Tennessee does profile well as a tournament team, but I think the fair line is 5, and the line's 5.5. Let's put it that way. In the other game, I do have a play on UCLA. This one is where I think the line is fair, 1.5. I think the line is fair. I make it 1.7 with Clark out for UCLA. Gonzaga does not profile well as a tournament team. UCLA profiles very well as a tournament team. And so for those reasons, I like UCLA.
I like it. I put in a little fun moneyline parlay. Actually, I did spreads on Michigan State, UCLA, but I also threw in UConn on the moneyline, and I did that. I steered clear of Florida Atlantic, Tennessee. So generally, feels like we're simpatico on thoughts there. I like
don't know
it.
If I should feel good or bad about that, Gil.
You should feel spectacular about it, Bob.
I feel
That's
great
what
about
you should
that.
Feel. No legend. I'm no legend like you are, but, you know, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that I'm on your side. Anyway. Right. Thank you, Bob. Hopefully we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Bob Stoll. Non-committal on tomorrow, should be pointed out. We'll see if we can get it back on. Matt Cox from Three Man Weave on College Hoops on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split mess.
Slow. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. The Mertens match has begun. One of our two matches has already begun. Elise Mertens, who is an underdog, up a break in the first set against Daria Kasatkina. So a good start there, even though I think we were up two breaks, quite frankly, and now we're only at one break. But so far, so good there. And the Garin match, who we have over Giron, that's Garin over Giron, that starts top of the hour. I also bet, so again, college basketball, I did play UCLA minus the 0.5. If this will go over 2 points, I'll usually play the money line, but at 1.5, I typically will take the I'll play the spread itself. UCLA and Michigan State now for me, and I think with Survivor, Kelly, I did play that Michigan State, UCLA, and then UConn money line sort of parlay, fun parlay. I did not touch Florida Atlantic, Tennessee. I do feel like, and this is the only thing I care about, is Survivor. I've got two entries left out of three. One of them, again, 12th place out of 1,700 entries. How do I play it? How does one play? This is where game theory becomes fascinating.
Well, what place were you in the other one?
Oh, I'm deep down, like 100 and something.
Well, so you probably got to get aggressive on that one.
I don't know. It's like, so the one that can win, I want to continue to be aggressive and try to win the whole thing.
Okay.
The one that has a lesser shot of winning might be the one where I actually play it conservatively, because I would imagine that in a seeding incentivized pool like this one, that everybody is going to take Michigan State, who doesn't have Florida Atlantic available, but especially Michigan State, because they're a 7 seed and they're favored, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, even if I take Michigan State and they win, the most I'm going to move up is probably from, like, I don't know, 12th to 10th place, right?
Right.
So I'm just incrementally going to play that one that way. But if Michigan State loses, I would imagine it will knock out, and I don't know, you know, how many people are going to take them at this point, the percentage of the pool yet. That'll be revealed afterwards. But I would imagine it would knock out a whole bunch of us, and a new group will then rise to the top of the pool that will not nearly that will have played it a totally different way, right? We'll have played it completely conservatively, because
It's a good point. It's
so great.
The strategy is interesting.
The winners of this pool will typically be the ones that go all out, take the risks, and so far the leaders are that. But I could be out of this by the end of the first game tonight.
Yeah, and I think you're right in questioning what I brought up at first, because you're right. I think with the other one that you're so far back, That one you just play safe to stick around,
just
right?
To stick
you hope
around.
That other people get aggressive and knock themselves out.
Yeah.
But you're right. If the one that you're in 12th at, you probably need to be a little bit more aggressive.
I think if you have all three of your entries left, because you're allowed three max, maybe you do, what Derek Stevens calls the double option. You play both sides of one, so you're guaranteed at least one through. I don't know. But for me, trying to win this whole thing, I think the play is Michigan State, and I think I've thought it from the very first moment that the round of 32 ended. I think it to this moment, and I think that's how you play this tonight. And then if you lose that, you have to be okay with losing it, because it's the right way to play it. Because I actually think, you know, the other thought would be, well, I've already used Florida Atlantic, so that's not an option for me. And they're 5.5-point dogs to Tennessee. The other option was, do you think Arkansas, you know, and again, great point by Dr. Bob when he came on here and talked about Smith. We just don't know if Eric Musselman, remember I asked him, I said, does Eric Musselman know this about his player? And Eric Musselman seemed to in this last game, but you don't know how he's going to play it this way. And I have UConn, again, per the championship formula, going far and maybe winning it all. So I don't want to play Arkansas. I actually think Michigan State, who Bob just said profiles well, Bob's little dissertation there may have finally put me over the top, where I'm just like, I was going to play him the whole time. Can anybody give me a reason not to? Damn, I'll still play him.
Yeah, I'm leaning the UConn way too. I haven't fired on that, but Bob was UConn and Michigan State?
No. Bob's Michigan State and UCLA.
UCLA. Yeah,
but what
UCLA.
I'm saying is, I already had the instinct to play Michigan State for survivor reasons, and his ATS thought on Michigan State just sort of corroborates where I was already going with it.
I think that's the play.
It's totally the play for me. I mean, I think if you're now, that's because I'm in 12th place out of 1,700, right?
Right.
But I think there are 300-plus left. So I think only 300-plus have survived from the initial 1,700. But if you're in 12th place like I am, or up at the top, I think that's the way you play it. I think if you're below that, you have to think more alternatively. Because for me, if I just keep playing the way I'm playing and can get to the Final Four, then it really is just a coin flip fest, right? Do I take Houston? Do I take Alabama? Then it's just a survival thing. You're either right or you're wrong at that point with your pick. But this is more about point accumulation at this point still. You still have to play the strategy of it. It's so awesome. Nothing better than Survivor in the NCAA tournament, even better than the NFL, because you got to keep them alive. You have to know who's playing on what day and what region, so you don't, you know, crap out on a region or crap out on a game that you won't be able to play come Final Four because you already have used those teams. It's awesome. You have some plays today as well, right?
I'm on FAU, and I think I'm going to end up on UConn. But I might end up doing something like you did as well, moneyline parlay them or something like that. Arkansas, they confuse me and scare me a little bit with some of that talent. But man, UConn's solid. They are solid.
UConn is totally solid. They've been solid for most of the year. Remember, they just had that weird swoon in the middle of the year, And I mean real big swoon.
So I don't know what I'm going to end up with that, but as far as what I got in the account, I do have FAU in the account, plus 5.5. And then some second-round matchups for the WGC match play. Cameron Young and Corey Connors are already underway, so you can scratch that one off. But then I am on Lucas Herbert over Terrell Hatton. Unfortunately, Terrell Hatton I have a lot of bets on, but apparently, according to reports, had hurt his hand during warm-ups yesterday before the tournament began. If anybody watched his matchup, it was not great. So I'm coming in on the other side, plus 120 today. This is kind of a mini hedge. Either hopefully he's I hope I lose that bet. It's one of those, I hope I lose this bet today, and Hatton all of a sudden looks great, but we'll see. Otherwise, I'm going to play kind of against injury, and that's absolutely what the Minwoo Lee one is. Matt Fitzpatrick has been dealing with some stuff here over the past few weeks. Did not look good yesterday at all. Minwoo Lee plus 115, the young Australian up and comer. I think that's a good bet today. I really like.
Yeah, it wasn't quite Anisimova walking off the court, but that's horrible, man, that you had all that on Terrell Hatton and then all of a sudden, hand injury and warm-ups.
You know, he was earlier yesterday. I didn't really get to watch much of it, but it was some of the person I saw reporting on it said he was kind of doing this all throughout his round too, like kind of wincing and grabbing at the hand arm, and I'm like, oh man, that's not good.
That is not good. Did any of the first round matchups go your way? Did you?
I went 2-3. 2-3 yesterday.
2-3.
2-3 on what we gave out yesterday. So
all right. That's what I ended up on.
So to start, reminder, like I'm going to bet this is, we have 3 days of these group play matches. I'm going to bet a bunch of them. I bet them way smaller than what you're seeing me bet tournament matchups each week. This is a one round matchup play. These aren't my favorite bets in the world. It's a great event, though. I love the event. It's just, it's just a different format, Gil, right? Like, it's not something you really get in tennis, but it's like, I love watching this tournament.
Yeah.
Betting-wise, though, as you brought up when we first started discussing it, it's not an event I've really ever done well with. I don't bet it heavily, but I enjoy betting it, right? It's much like the NCAA tournament.
An homage to the NCAA tournament. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I've begun to gather my things. This is from the Crack segment. It goes, if that gentleman, talk about the live better that Crack was talking about, just took the time to track his bets and got into a habit of having to manually log in a spreadsheet, he would realize that it's a detriment to impulse live betting. And just because of the effort to go back and log the picks obsessively, he would realize that would be a good new impulse to have in addition to his bad impulse. This is Nash at last name Nash. Said live betting can be dangerous for recreational bettors. The impulse and, quote, I know sports mentality that people have to keep confidently firing on what they're watching. Worst part is many of them don't even know they're behind when placing the live wager. Chris Heath makes me feel much better. This again to the Crack segment. It makes me feel much better about being down 6,000 at a particular offshore I joined in 2020 when 10 nickels closed to U.S. bettors. I used to call them 10 nickels.
10 nickels.
That's what I used to call them on the show.
That's right.
Kevin Downs.
100 pennies.
Let's see. Oh, Kevin Downs wants to say it's a hedging question. He says, hello, I listen every day, enjoy your show. When you have time, can you explain hedging, especially on futures? Your producer, Kelly, is the best. Thanks. Shout out to Kelly Bidlin. We could do hedging again. But what's that?
50 pennies. I said 100 pennies. He's like, wait, no, you screwed that up, you idiot.
Poor currency exchange for Kelly Bidlin.
Education.
Great producer, horrible currency exchange operator, Kelly Bidlin. Matt Cox, College Hoops, Sweet 16 Thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Matt Cox from Three Man Weave standing by. Final tweets of the day. We appreciate all the feedback. This is from Chance Copperpot, Kelly. Chance Copperpot. Again, with the Crackman segment, you never know what's going to resonate with people. Yeah. Chance, thanks for touching base on bankroll management, he means. Again, on Unscripted with the Crackman. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn. I still occasionally make mistakes, and that's when I lose too much on something. Funny how that works. And Crackman actually responded to him by saying, Chance, you'll probably be shocked by this. I myself, from time, overplay casino promotions. It's very easy to do that. Have a great weekend, pal. This one is from Riley Grannon. And Kelly, you wanted to say something about this too. He said, great to hear Ken LaVica on a numbers game. Ken LaVica from Florida Atlantic, their play-by-play voice. Listening to him call Florida Atlantic games this season has been a treat. As the boys from Boca continue in March Madness, so many good local broadcasters that often provide better insights than national calls. And you were saying, think about a guy like that who's been there forever, and he finally gets this moment.
He's been calling football and basketball games there for 13 years, I think now is what it's been. I mean, something along those lines. You're talking late. I mean, I started working with him in like 2008. He was already doing football games like around that time, 2008, 2009. So, yeah, how many seasons you got to suffer through bad football and basketball
to get to this
moment?
And
now you're in New York City for the Sweet 16.
It's awesome. And finally, Mike Stacks, in my Survivor, there are no point values, just trying to forecast who may win and try to save teams. I'm on Michigan State today, even with that format, and Texas tomorrow over Xavier. Best of luck to us both. Yes, indeed. Best of luck to everybody in Survivor. Matt Cox joins us from Three Man Weave. You can follow all of Three Man Weave's picks at 3MW_CBB. Matt, are you in Vegas?
No, I'm actually in Hermosa Beach, California. This is the second of my, I know, living large and lavishly. Don't mind the bunk bed over my left. This is our bedroom 3/office adopted. But I was in Vegas last weekend, actually, so I missed you guys. Sorry about that.
You hanging out with Patrick Maher in Hermosa Beach? Is that what y'all do?
Is he close to me? Oh, I should know that. I apologize. Tell him to hit me up. Huh? We'll go down to Mickey's Deli. Have a sub today for lunch.
A little Hermosa Beach knowledge from
my
insider.
Right, before we get to your thoughts on today's games, I promised earlier I would ask about this, because talk about the Princeton game tomorrow. Princeton and Creighton, where Creighton was a 10-point favorite. I think now it's settled in 9.5-ish on that game. But we have heard, and we're showing 10 still, we have heard nobody say anything but a variation of the following sentence. And this is multiple people, which is, this has been nice, you know, this has been nice for Princeton, but Creighton is a particularly poor matchup for them. And I haven't heard anybody give Princeton even a puncher's chance. Is that your take on this? And are we all still sleeping on the Princeton Tigers?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, is last year's St. Peter's run a relevant precedent? You could argue no, but I could also argue similar parallels exist. You have a whole week off to prepare after that, you know, momentum building opening weekend. You win your first two games, you're feeling good about yourself, but then you have a really good coach last year, Sheen Holloway, right? And the X's and O's praise he got, Mitch Henderson, with arguably the best first-round scouting job of any team, the way they just basically sat back, shelled off the lane, made Arizona make jump shots and, like, mid-range floaters. And that completely flipped the script in that game and turned the game into a back-and-forth slugfest. And it looked like and felt like the game would be close the whole way. And I think with that type of edge, with this preparation coming in, I think Princeton has a real chance to compete here. I didn't play it personally, but I do think just the way that Henderson game plans and schemes, I think they can keep Creighton out of the paint, even though Creighton's just so big. I think they'll have a good game plan here. I don't know if they have enough horses to keep going, and I think Creighton's a tougher matchup than the Mizzou and Arizona, more frenetic, fast-paced attack they saw in the first two rounds. But I think they do have a puncher's chance here. I'm not all the way in on Creighton like everybody else.
What is your favorite play of tomorrow's games? Let's start with those.
Tomorrow, I'd love Texas. Yeah, I've kind of dubbed Texas the third best team in the field behind Alabama and Houston. People are going to question Rodney Terry and his lack of tournament chops. I just think this team's on autopilot right now. They have a guy in Dylan Disu who's been hurt the last year and a half, basically. He's been an absolute monster up front. He's the X factor. Sir Jabari Rice is that kind of senior grizzled veteran shot maker. And then they have just, you know, freak athletes and playmakers with Carr and Hunter. I think this team's all the way legit. So that's my favorite bet tomorrow on the over in that game. Basically a double bet against Xavier's shaky perimeter defense.
Yeah, Texas in some weird way, just they don't have the spotlight on them like the aforementioned Alabama and Houston teams. They get to just kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah. Yep.
Qualifying for the championship formula. With the exception of the interim coach.
That's very balanced. Right? Yeah.
Okay, what about tonight then? It all begins, by the way, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. Remember, it's a half an hour earlier than most folks are used to. What's your favorite bet of the night?
Only official play is FAU, riding with Kelly and our Owls here. Man, I just, everything about this team, I am invested all the way in. Got to see them in person last month over there in Boca and see those atrocious facilities. I can't believe why they get guys on campus there. It's, you know what, I'm 2 miles away from the beach, but it's a high school gym. It doesn't matter. Dusty May's done an unbelievable job with this team. I love their depth, and I think they are more physical and tougher and more rugged than people give them credit for, because they look small on paper. They look young on paper, but they're not like Duke young, and they're not Duke frail on the perimeter. I think these guys are kind of older, more grizzled type of guys that will stand up to the Tennessee boxing match, worry about getting beat up front. But man, FAU's got two legit rim protectors, man. Vlad Golden, 7'1", Texas Tech transfer. He's not going to get completely shoved around. Rosado is just like a bully himself. I mean, this is a real, real team, and they have like 8 legitimate SEC caliber starters that come off and they play interchangeably. John L. Davis is a Swiss Army knife, and the way they can spread you out and make shots to kind of soften up that Tennessee defense. I'm not all the way sold that Tennessee's offense is like this juggernaut because they played one good game against Duke, right? I think everyone's kind of overreacting, as we saw everyone go all the way in on Duke. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tennessee plays well. Everyone's going all the way in on Tennessee. I think we see a little bit of regression to the mean. Some of that old Tennessee offensive bad habits come back to burn them. I love FAU +5.5. Even if they're not making shots, I think they stay inside the number because they can compete defensively. They can manufacture points other ways on offense.
The two tightly lined games tonight, Michigan State, Kansas State to begin things, and then Gonzaga, UCLA, the final tip-off of the night. Two coin flippy for you on both of those to bet?
It's interesting. I heard Adam Burke talk about the Madison Square Garden under angle. Interesting to see a Michigan State, Kansas State game bet up. I actually do like the over there. I think the matchup angles and just the way that Noel and Tyson Walker, I think just let the heat of the moment, them returning back home to New York City. I think they're so jazzed up for this game that the pace just gets a little bit out of control, a little bit of hectic, and it plays well toward the over. We saw how open that game got in the second half in K-State and Kentucky. Usually late in the game, close game, you see it kind of slow down. But, man, they were going up and down, and Noel has no brake pedal on his gear. So I think that pace plays really fast and good for the over. But, again, no official play there.
Which is the team when we get to the Final Four by the end of the weekend? Which is the team that will be the most surprising per conventional wisdom? It could be just a number 4 seed like UConn to the conventional wisdom, but who will that be in your opinion?
I'm going FAU. I really think they have a chance to win tonight, and I think they win if they do tonight. So yeah, it's really, if you look on paper, it's one of the most well-rounded teams in the field. They just don't have that upper end talent. But all the teams that are more talented than them have a more glaring flaw than they do, save maybe Texas and obviously Alabama. So FAU, I think, is who I'm riding with here. The prices on their Final Four futures aren't great. You just take the money line rollover. I think it's a little better payout, but that's my pick, I think.
All right. Will Hill had him again on the Megapod to go to the Final Four before the tournament started. Yes, he did. And Todd Wishnev had Michigan State to go to the Final Four pre-flop on the Megapod. So both still very much alive on that. By the way, real quick before we go, because we only have 30 seconds and I haven't asked you about this at all, do you have any thoughts on who you might think, for those who want to bet NIT right now, do you have any thoughts on which team you think is going to take that?
North Texas, Battle of CUSA. I think they're just a much better coach team. And again, another reason why I like FAU. I mean, like, to see Charlotte run through the CBI, to see the CUSA teams get to the title game of the NIT, goes to show that FAU's complete dominance of this conference was no joke. So just to tie it back to my FAU conference.
There you go. North Texas. on the way out. Thank you, Matt. Enjoy the Sweet 16 tonight, tomorrow night, man. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, fellas. Go Owls.
Let's go.
At Matty Cox. It's Matty with a Y. Matty underscore Cox, I should say. 3MW underscore CBB for all of Three Man Weave's picks. Good luck to everybody with your plays tonight. If you're in Survivor, good luck to you, unless you're in my Survivor, in which case I would say, well, maybe not so much good luck. Okay, you can have good luck, but don't catch me. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.